sing together, "Oh Come On Ye Faithful."
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to this angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the angel to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Let's pray together. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Oh come Emmanuel, and ransom captive in Israel, that mourns in loneliness of year, until the Son of God.
Rejoice, Emmanuel.
Registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them at the inn. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have given your only begotten son to take our nature upon him and to be born of a pure virgin. Grant that we, who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the same Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Amen.
This is Christ, the King who shepherds God. And in the same region there were shepherds in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's pray. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light enkindled in our hearts may shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And then they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Let's pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we, who have known the mystery of that light on earth, may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven. For with you and the Holy Spirit, he gives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Like a cloth being woven on a loom. And the weaver begins with the lowest line and puts the shuttle through and then comes back, draws tight, comes back. Vic, you'll have to forgive me. She's a weaver. Lonnie will have to forgive me. She's a weaver also.
So far.
So back and forth and back and forth, but somewhere early on, the weaver has some strands that he lays aside. He takes them out, they're darker, thinner. They seem less important than the others, and he lays them aside, and you begin to wonder as the weaver takes up his shuttle again and begins to pass through the strands, back and forth, as the cloth begins to fill up with these strands that are lighter colored, they're blues, they're purples, they're a beautiful woven background. You begin to wonder, did he forget about those others? Are they useless? Were they just a line at the beginning and that's all? Maybe they're destined for the scissors and the dustbin. What are those strands for? Maybe they're to be just cut off and thrown out? But all through the history of Israel, we hear these voices. Some of these voices are from the prophetesses of Israel. Women like Deborah and Hannah and Mary, who spoke of the value of the rejected and overlooked strands. They had a unique authority to sing the testimony of the Lord of the overlooked, the king of reversals, and the kingdom of what I'm going to call reincorporation, bringing it back in. And it seems like this is the history of Israel and the history of the coming of Messiah, that God chose a tiny nation through whom to bless the world. And as we've been studying during this season, that God would choose a Moabitess, not even from that nation, but from a people who were told they couldn't come into the sanctuary, even if they came into Israel for 10 generations. But God would use this woman to create the royal line of David and renew God's plans and purposes in Israel. And now we find this nation under imperial royal Roman rule. And then from the house, when the house of David has left the glory of Solomon and descended to the point where it looks like a tree, a giant tree that's been cut down, God speaks through Isaiah and says, come forth a rod out of Jesse. A branch will grow from its roots. You know why the branch would grow from its roots? Because there was no trunk left. It was cut down. And when they thought that the line of David was gone and the future of Israel was gone, God would send word, not to Bethlehem first. First he sent word to a town on the edge of town, on the edge of town, on the edge of town. He sent word to Nazareth, a place in the sticks. He sent word to a trailer park, if you would, on the far edges of town, and said to a young woman, "Hail, daughter, Hail Mary, full of grace. The child that you will conceive will be called the Most Holy, the Son of God. And this king wouldn't be announced from the towers of Jerusalem. This king would be announced from Midgal Adar, an old dilapidated watchtower on the hillside of Bethlehem. Not to the royal family, but to a group of shepherds who were gathered there. And those who would rush to see them from far off, wasn't the royal houses of Israel, but the royal houses of a caste of magi who were forbidden in Israel. They were the ones who would search the books and come and celebrate the birth of the king. And it was spoken of them in advance through the lips of David. The stone that the builders had rejected would become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The story of Christmas is about the threads that have been cast aside by the weaver, telling us that they're not destined for the scissors, that the extraneous has become the essential, that the strands that had to be thin enough to be threaded in a needle, that they had to be dark enough to stand in contrast with that background. They were waiting to be embroidered. They were to be the foreground. The laid aside strands become the picture itself. The forgotten strands are the story. The king in the manger is the overlooked essential of history. He's the one who enters humanity quietly to collect what was cast off as the treasure of God. There's a story that once the emperor asked one of the saints of old, "Gather all the treasures of the church and bring them to me, for I want to own them." And so the man said, "Yes, sir, I'll do exactly what you ask." And so he went out and he got the poor and the lame and the broken and the hurting and the forgotten and the marginalized and the cast off. And he brought them together into one place and he said, "Here, sir, is the treasure of the church." And he was right. The gospel is the reminder that God has not only not forgotten us, but he's come and visited us where we are. That even when we thought that nothing was happening, or the worst stuff in the world was happening, that somewhere quietly behind the scenes, the weaver was working for our good, building the background on which to tell the story of the good news. The coming of Jesus is good news for those of us who are humble enough to receive it. It's a story of reincorporation. That's what redemption is. Redemption brings the least of these into the foreground of God's tapestry. It tells us that God's great concern are the overlooked, the weak, the poor, rejected, the outcast, the defective, the incomplete, the sinner, the wayward, the impure, the despised, the unimpressive, the marginalized, the illegal, and the wounded. And these are the ones whom God has called to be the vessels of his glory. The king has come and searched the discount racks of humanity to find the treasure for whom he would give his life. The coming of Jesus is the foreground picture formed out of the forgotten threads embroidered on the boastful background of history. And the greatest danger that we can have, I think, as Christians, is to believe that this idea is just okay. Is to believe that this is just a pretty good idea. Is to believe that Jesus is just all right. That we can say of the forgotten threads, "Yeah, it turns out that they're useful too." We can say of the king, "Yeah, he's pretty good," and we'll miss the point. You see, the way that we know the story is ending, the way we know any good story is ending, is that it begins to look more like the beginning. All the things that were scattered, the threads that were tossed loose here and there, begin to come together. The threads that seem useless now take center stage. We find humanity was expelled from the garden, but now welcomed back through Christ. We find that what was lost was found, that God who made all things is making all things new, that outsiders are not simply good. They are God's story. And unless we are them, we find that we're left out. He comes to make us like him, a stone that the builders rejected. And he takes the rubble of our lives and builds us into the walls of his church, of his community, into a house of worship to God. We gather together to tell his story, only to find out that in fact we're telling ours. When the two merge, the story's coming to a close. What keeps us from receiving such a welcome, from receiving a king like this?
Amen. Go in peace.